Joshua 24:15 this morning. If you've got your Bible with you or your phone, one of the things that we do around here, if you have your smartphone, you literally can download YouBible. And so the YouVersion. And with you doing that, you have the Bible on your phone with you. That's a pretty awesome little app to have. So as we get ready for Joshua 24:15, I want to share with you real quick what's interesting about how God works. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 shows us this. This is a really powerful verse. And as we look into 2026, what would it be that God would have for you? You know, many people have written off God. They say, well, why would I serve a God that allows this or allows that? You got to realize, too, the Bible calls Satan our great enemy. So a lot of things that we blame God for actually happen through the God of this world, Satan. And when he's called the God of this world, it's not a capital G, it's a lower G. And so he does rule this world. He's evil. And as we look at that, a lot of people blame God for a lot of things that happen because of the curse that was unleashed when Adam and Eve sinned, and then also Satan. But Proverbs 4:18, this is so powerful. This is how God works. Okay, very rarely have I ever had God show me the whole big picture. As a pastor, as a Christian, I've always gotten little bits and pieces through life. And what's interesting, this verse says this, the way of the righteous. So this is talking about somebody that is right with God. You have made peace with God. You have asked for forgiveness. You've repented of your sins. You've asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life, and you're living for him. That's what a righteous person is. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. So as soon as the sun begins to come up, it says this, which shines ever brighter to the full light of day. Now you may sit there and go, what does that verse have to do with this morning? It's not, God's not going to leave you hanging, is that verse. He's not going to show you a little bit in your life and then just drop you. Okay? This life is hard. This life has a lot of trials. Whether you've done stuff yourself and caused a mess, or whether other people have done stuff and caused a mess for you. Either way, life is hard at times. And you can be doing really good with God, and then trials and hardships can come along. How many of you guys are with me on that? You're just like, where the heck did that come from, right? But here's the deal. This verse reminds us today that God's not going to leave you hanging. Okay, just as the sun begins to peak up, it'll come to full light of day. It's the same thing in your life. The work that God's doing in your life is not just going to be a little bit. If you give him a chance, it'll be the full picture. So I want to show you something. This is really powerful. I've never been to Dubai. I'll probably never go to Dubai. I can't imagine how expensive that would be. But I want to show you how some people look at a place and they just settle there. They just keep the environment the way it is, or how people have vision. So I want you to look at these pictures. These pictures behind me are of Dubai. So the first picture you see is the sand, is the desert. The other picture that you see is the oasis. And there'll be several pictures up here. I mean, you literally can see the difference there. There's barren desert land, and here's what Dubai looks like right now, even more. And the creativity is incredible. Watch what they've done to this place. This was a desert. Okay, this is a desert. So this is the Palm Islands, and you literally can stay on the Palm Islands surrounded by water there. This is in the desert, all right? Go ahead and go to the next one. Watch this. So here is the underground rooms in the palms. So this, again, this was a desert, okay? So when people see sand, other people see an oasis, right? But look at these pictures here. These are incredible. How many of you guys are like, I'd like to go spend the new year there. That wouldn't be too bad. Right? I mean, look at the stadiums. Again, in the middle of a desert. And then this one right here is really interesting. This is all man-made built. Right here. It's just, they just call it the oasis. I mean, it's incredible what they've done. And the people, before they started to develop all this, it literally was all desert. Now you got an ice skating rink and a ski resort in the desert there. So my point would be this, with our scripture this morning, God does the same thing. When you begin to follow God, God will begin to show you little pieces in your life of what he's doing. And he's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to take you to the place that he wants you to go. And when I look at Dubai, this is really powerful again. When some people just see sand, other people see an oasis. And that's called vision. I mean, who would have thought that this would be in the middle of a desert? It would be an ultimate vacation spot for probably every person to go check out and see. And what happens is this. You have to have a start with your life and your family. Joshua 24:15 says this. Here's Joshua speaking. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, so it's a choice to serve God or not. You can't blame anybody else, okay? It's your choice. And I know that a lot of things have happened to a lot of people. I've been pastoring for a long time. I have heard thousands and thousands of stories of what has happened to people. But all of those people have chosen to either serve God or not. It says this, if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods? And notice it's a lower G, so he's talking about demon gods. Would you prefer the demon gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or would it be the gods of the Amorites whose land you now live in? He says this, but as for me and my family, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a declaration to say, this is what I'm going to do with my life. And I'm at a crossroads. Hebrews 10:25 puts it like this. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Notice the day. That's the judgment day. So the instructions is this. You need to choose for you and your household what you're going to do for God or not. And then you need to get into church. You need to hear the word of God. You need to grow as a family. You know, when I look at it, I had my kids with me over Christmas and our grandkids. And watching them, it's interesting to see my kids grown now and look at the pictures of them. And now to have little grandbabies in the family, that cycle has come around. And it's a very interesting thing because now we've got another generation to raise up for God. And one of the ways to do that is to not neglect not meeting together. Make sure in 2026 that you've established that your home is for God and your life is for God and your family, and then stay in church. John 16:13 says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, He, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into how much truth? All of it. God's not going to leave you hanging. And the Bible says this, He will not speak of His own, but He will tell you what He's heard. He will tell you about the what? Future. So, as we talk about to the future this morning, we look at this. What does God say about the future? What does God say about our lives or eternity or whatever it may be? Well, in order to do this, you got to realize Jesus is the truth. Okay, he literally says in John 14:6, He makes the biggest claim ever, and He backed it up. He said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to my Father in heaven except through me. What Jesus just said in John 14:6 is this. You can't get to heaven unless you go through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And Jesus said that. And you know what's interesting between Christianity and all other religions is that our God is alive and all the other prophets are dead. The Bible says that Jesus was risen from the dead 3 days later. So when you look at this, there's some steps, I think, for 2026 that we need to look at for my own life, for your life as a church, that we need to look at for this upcoming year. One is this. You need to be still. Okay? That is a hard thing to do in this life right now, to just stop, to be still. Some of you have had some time off for Christmas. Some of you guys have got to slow down finally for a little bit, and you're able to see what life is about again. But the Bible says this in Psalm 46:10. It says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The reason that he says that is that when you stop and you're still before God, you'll get to know him. You'll get to hear his voice. And the busyness and the craziness of life, man, it overwhelms us at times. And we're told to be still so that we can know God. You got to realize that you can have as much of God as you want this year. And that's up to you. Realize that your Heavenly Father loves spending time with you. God created you for a reason. It was not to go to hell. It was not to be in rebellion all your life or not to follow God. He created you so that he could have a relationship with you, the creator and the creation. And what has the creation done? The book of Romans tells us that the creation has turned against God. That the creation worships the creation instead of the creator. We've taken life into our own hands and we do what we want to do. But you got to realize this. If you're going to get to a spot in your life where you're going to get to know God, I will tell you this. You have to be still. But you're going to have a wrestling match before that happens. You're going to wrestle with God. Because it will be the fight of your life. It'll be the fight of your life for your choices, for your decisions, for your habits. Look at Genesis chapter 32. I want to show you Jacob here, what Jacob does. Genesis 32, verse 23, the Bible says this. After taking his family to the other side, notice he went to the other side. He sent over how many of his possessions? All of them. He didn't keep anything back on the other side. He was heading to where God wanted him to go. So Jacob took his family. He gave everything over. He passed it all over. Verse 24. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When you look at commentaries or you look at the Bible and scriptures, we really believe that this was Jesus himself. Okay? Because Jacob would be the guy that God picks for Israel. And watch this. The Bible says this, that he wrestled him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not win the match. Now think about this. This is a supernatural being fighting a physical man. And Jacob was like, you are not going to beat me. Is anybody with me? I mean, think about that. That's insane. But the Bible says this, that he saw that he would not win the match. So he touched Jacob's hip and he wrenched it out of socket. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you what? Bless me. I mean, think about this. What an incredible prayer to make for 2026. God, I am going to be so close to you. I am not going to let you out of my sight, God. You and I are going to be like this year. And here's the deal. I give everything over to you. But in order to know you, I know I've got to have a wrestling match first. He says this, what is your name? The man replied and asked, and Jacob said this, your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have what? Won. Very important story here. None of us are Jacob, okay? This Jacob here, none of us are that. But what a principle to say, I'm giving everything over to God. I'm going where God wants me to go. And I'm going to wrestle God. In order to be in a spot where I need to be with him, it's going to be a wrestling match. Now, I understand this. When you begin to wrestle and you begin to move around and you really exert all your energy, within 60 seconds, you're going to feel it quick. Is anybody with me? I mean, we think that we are in incredible shape to do whatever, but when your adrenaline dumps and everything goes, I promise you, within 60 seconds, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel the exhaustion and the breathing and everything coming in. This guy fought God until daybreak, and he said, I want you to bless me. And what's interesting is this. Verse 25 said this, that God touched his hip. And what happens when your hip gets wrenched? You walk different. Right? I mean, I came in walking like this, but if my hip was wrenched, you're going to be walking like this. The point of the story is, when God touches your life, you're going to walk different. There's going to be a difference in your life than what you were before you wrestled God. And that's a good thing. What a great story to look at and say, listen, in order to be where I need to be with God, I'm going to have to wrestle with my life and my decisions. Because what happens is, we want to do what we want to do all the time. And the whole point of life is to do God's will. How do you know that? Look at the Bible and see what God says. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras. There's this guy named Epaphras. It says, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, he sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly. When you look up that word earnestly, it means wrestle in prayer. When he prays for you, he wrestles in prayer for you. Asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God, not just part of it. That's the point. I mean, why is Epaphras praying for this church and for the people? So that they can follow the will of God. And how does he pray for them? He wrestles for them in prayer. I mean, guys, this is not an easy thing. If you want to follow Jesus, you've got to give him everything, and you've got to walk with him. You're going to walk different. And if somebody says they're in Jesus and you don't see a difference in their life, something's off. Period. You're going to walk different when you spend time with God. So the first step is to be still. How many of you would honestly say that is a really hard thing to do in this time? It's super hard. It's super hard to find the time to do it. And you just have to pick a time. And maybe you're just like, Jerry, you don't know what my day's like. I get that. So maybe being still for you is while you're on the job and you're connecting with God the best you can while you're on your job. How many of you guys have high demands with your work? Look at all the hands. Yeah, so you're sitting here like, when do I do that? Maybe it's that time you create with that, maybe. Here's the deal. If you'll start out being still, then you're going to begin to walk with God. And what's interesting is this. The Bible has a lot to say about this. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. The Bible says this. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man. Remember our first verse in Proverbs? The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which goes to the full brightness of day. There's something about being right with God. And watch this. Noah was a righteous man and only blameless person living on the earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. So Noah knew God. And he was close to God. But he also walked with him. And we're talking about your daily walk. Your daily walk with God is a big deal. Jesus said this, I want you every day to take up your cross and follow me. He didn't say every other day. He said, every day I want you to take up your cross and follow me. What is he talking about? Crucifying the sinful desires of your life. Guys, I'll be honest with you. I got to watch my life. Anybody else got to watch your life? Because the sinful desires that we have want to control everything about your life. And the power of God and the power of the Bible changes that. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Here's an Old Testament prophet. And it says, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you, to do what is what? Right. To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's what Micah says to do. And that's an Old Testament prophet. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by believing and not by seeing. And you go, well, what in the world is that? Well, if you look at all the false religions, they either have an idol that you can touch or pray to. They've got some form of an idol worship. Christianity is by faith in Jesus Christ. I will tell you, I've never seen Jesus in person. Okay, why is that? Because Jesus is up in heaven, and the Bible says he is at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for you 24/7. That's what he says. There's multiple scriptures that tell us that. So when all these people say, well, Jesus walked into my room and showed me himself, I didn't know he was coming back a third, a fourth, and a fifth time. Is anybody with me? It says he's coming back a second time. So again, when you look at all these crazy people that say all these stories, you got to look at the Bible. But here's my point. Is that I've never seen Jesus in person, but I have faith that he is who he says he is through the Bible. Anybody with me? That's Christianity. Now, you may go, well, wait a minute, I've seen Jesus work, so have I. I wouldn't know what forgiveness looks like until I see how somebody can be forgiven of their sins. That's a beautiful picture of Jesus. I don't know what it's like for somebody to be saved until they're rescued out of darkness, and then you watch their whole life transformed. That's Jesus. See, Psalm 119, 105 tells us how to do this. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet, and it's a light to my path. The Bible. Everybody's searching for all kinds of stuff today. I'm telling you this. If you get that Bible, and you read that Bible, and then you respond to that Bible by living it out, I'm going to tell you something, man. You'll find God. And God will find you. And you'll be amazed at what God can do in your life. What Jesus can do. The Word of God is our guide. When a person lives a righteous life, God notices. He noticed Noah. He noticed Micah. He notices. As you walk with God this year, do it in a very humble way. I mean, for us to be able to wake up this morning and have the breath that we have, that's a very humbling thing, church. I mean, think about it. The doctors say that every heartbeat that you feel, okay, you can do your pulse, somebody passes away in our world. That's a crazy statistic, but it's true. I mean, we have 8 billion people in our world. So think about that. But you start out by being still. You then walk with God. And then there's a time in your relationship with God when you will run for Him. I mean, it's amazing. It's like the jet stream. I remember hearing the story of the jet stream. There were several jetliners that took off at the same airport at the same time. And there were reports that these airplanes that took off from the same airport around the same time were showing up faster than the other ones. And it wasn't because they were going 100 miles an hour faster. These jets were the same on their mile per hours. But they were showing up a half hour earlier, 45 minutes earlier. Guess what was discovered? The jet stream. They found out that an airplane can get up in the jet stream, and that jet stream can carry them along faster. And that, I'm telling you, that I've seen that in my relationship with God. The longer that you're in this thing with God, you start out still, you begin to walk with God, and there are times that you will run for God. And God will use you in a great way. And I'm not saying that He can't still use you when you're still, or use you as you're walking with Him. Obviously, He can. But there are moments, what I would probably call defining moments. I'll give you an example. You guys heard of Billy Graham? Anybody heard of Billy Graham? Yeah. So Billy Graham is at a hotel one day. And there's this guy that comes up to him, and Billy Graham's getting ready to go preach in a stadium full of people. And this one man walks up to him. And he says this. He says, can I have 5 minutes of your time? And this is in the lobby. Billy Graham could have said, no, man, I'm getting ready to go talk to thousands of people. But he took the time to sit down with this man. This man asked him how to find Jesus, and Billy Graham told this guy how to find Jesus in his life. The man's name was Steve Case. I don't know if that rings a bell with you, but Steve Case was the president of America Online at the time. Remember America Online? Huge internet company. So because Billy Graham sat down with this guy, and this guy gave his life to Jesus in the lobby, right there, Steve Case says, here's how I can help you. You're not going to have to fly any more of your jets or take airliners to go where you're going. I will have personal jets that will fly you wherever you want to go speak. I will cover the cost. I'll provide the jet, and it will take you to go evangelize the world wherever you want to go, Billy. I want you to think about that. That's a defining moment. You would think that Billy Graham, him running for God, would be the thousands upon thousands in the stadium, right? That's the way we think. But he had a moment where he ran for God big time by taking a few minutes with a guy that he never knew. And church, that you just never know what God's got up his sleeve. And listen, what if this guy didn't give anything back to Billy Graham? That guy just received the greatest gift ever, eternal life in Jesus Christ. He just received forgiveness. It tells us a lot about what's going on. You remember the little boy with, two loaves and five fish, or the two fish and five loaves. I don't remember exactly. I think it was two loaves and five fish. And that little story of that little kid having his lunch, Jesus takes that lunch and blesses it and then multiplies it and feeds thousands and thousands of people. That was a defining moment in that little man's life. Think about that. That was a God moment that kid ran for God. So when you talk about this, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith. What is he talking about? That in heaven, the faithful people that live for the Lord, they are the great cloud of witnesses. We can read about their life. We can look at their life. And their life reminds us that it's worth everything to live for God. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Okay? Or especially the sin that so easily entangles us or ties us up. Think about that. If you're going to run, I remember when Corbin, my son, he got a scholarship to go to Evangel to run track. And he would send us videos of his training. And one of the days, they put a parachute behind him. And the wind was blowing super hard. And they said, run into the wind. Go. And we remember receiving a video of him running at Evangel, training. And the parachute, and it looked like he wasn't going anywhere. Is anybody with me? That parachute held him back. But what it was doing was it was making him strong. And And he told me, he was like, listen, when I finally let that thing off me, I felt like I could run 1,000 miles an hour. And this Bible says the same thing here, this verse. It puts it like this: let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily ties us up. And then watch the third thing. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Endurance means you don't throw in the towel. Endurance means that you don't give up. That's what Jesus says to do. When you run for God, you have examples in the Bible. Open up Hebrews chapter 11 and read the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Faith. Think about that. All those people, their stories are incredible, encouraging stories to us. And you have to look unto Jesus. Verse 2 says this. And again, look unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, or the champion who initiates your faith. Okay? He's not going to let you down. He's the author and the finisher. You're going to start to see him do a little bit in your life, and then he's going to bring it to full light today. But you got to keep running. I told this story several times, but this really speaks to my heart. We had a man that went down to Casey's on a Sunday to go get gas after the 9 o'clock service one morning. And the cashier that was in the gas station right over here, he was wearing his Endurance church shirt. And she said, do you go to Endurance church? And he said, yes, I do. And she teared up. And she said, well, I have to work every Sunday. But when I get off work, I drive past the church and I read Endurance up there. And she said, every Sunday, it tells me not to give up. Every Sunday. And she's never walked in the doors here. But yet God is using, he used that man's life to speak into her life that day and encourage her. And he's using a church sign to say, don't give up and don't throw in the towel. Anybody with me? That's awesome how God works. And she's the one who brought that up, not him. That's powerful. Again, when you look at this, endurance means that you don't give up. You keep running. How will God speak to you this year in 2026? He's going to speak to you through his son, through the word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, everybody say long ago. That way we got this understood. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. We have the Old Testament, which is the prophets. We have the New Testament, which is the apostles. That's our Bible. Now watch this. In these final days, okay, he has spoken to us through his son. How is that possible? The word of God, the Bible. If you read John chapter 1, it says that the word of God is Jesus. So when you read the Bible, when you read the word, you are literally connecting with Jesus. Okay, listen, the Bible is so different. This book is not about somebody. This book is somebody. And his name is Jesus. And when you read that Bible and you get that Bible in your heart and you begin to know those scriptures, Jesus will change your life. I'm telling you, I've been doing this for 30 years. I still don't understand it. But I've watched Jesus transform so many lives. There's something supernatural about it. Okay? I'm just telling you. It's not a waste of time. It's the bestseller every single year because it's life transforming. And when you look at this, it's interesting. John 1:14 tells us this. So the word, okay, became flesh, became human, and made his home among us. It's saying that when you read the word of God, you're connecting with Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says this: when Jesus came, he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. How do we know who the Word of God is? It says it right there, Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. Again, when you look at 2026, I don't know what 2025 has looked like for you. I know the Bible says that the Bible is the final Word of God. It's God's written, spoken Word. Proverbs 4:18, the scripture we started out with, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn as soon as the sun starts to come up. As you're walking with God, as you're running with God, as you're being still with God, God's going to reveal things to you through his word, which shines even brighter to the full light of day. If you don't throw in the towel and you keep running with endurance, you will see that picture one day. As a pastor, My prayer this morning when I came in, I said, God, my life is going by so fast. It seems like one season comes and one season goes like that. How do I take the time that I have left and enjoy the days? Because as a pastor, I have to look ahead for the church, and we have to map out the seasons. I mean, you guys are in Christmas mode right now in New Year. I've already been thinking about Easter in April. I have to. Because if we're going to have Easter to be the very best that it's one of our biggest outreaches of the year, if it's going to be the best, you got to start thinking about it months before. Tim Tebow, Night to Shine is on its way up. It'll be here in February. Guess what? Every October, okay? My wife, I can tell a difference in my wife. She goes in Night to Shine mode. Because there's so much that has to happen months before that event. And it's hard to enjoy the day-to-day when all you can do is look at seasons. And that's something I'm struggling with. That's my prayer this year. God, help me to enjoy my day-to-day instead of just seasons. I want to enjoy my days. And I got to make some choices on that. See, Proverbs 29:18 tells us this closing today. When people do not accept divine guidance, when they have the Bible and God speaks to their heart and they reject that, when people do not accept divine guidance or God's word or God, the scriptures, what's the result of that? They run wild. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of churches running wild today because they have gotten away from the word of God. They're perverted. They do what they want to do. They're worshiping the creation rather than the creator. I'm shocked at what I've seen the last few years in churches and pastors. But it says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Watch this. But whoever obeys the law or the word of God is joyful. Think about that. A commentary puts it like this. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Man, is that true. If you don't keep your eyes on Jesus, then what happens in the church is total chaos. And even in your life, it could be the same in your family. Wild, in the original meaning, literally means to kick like a horse or a mule, to buck the system, holding on to anger, causing others to stumble, to be a trouble causer or stir up trouble, to live for your own agenda, to live for pride and cause division. That's what that means, to live wild. So all of that is encompassed when somebody rejects the Bible. And in the Bible, what you have is you've got Isaac, you've got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when Isaac was born, if you remember the story, his wife told him to sleep with Hagar, which Ishmael was born. And guess what the name Ishmael means? Wild donkey. Look at the Middle East. Is anybody with me? Seriously, you can literally see the difference between Israel and all of the Middle East. Jacob was named Israel. Ishmael means wild donkey. And again, case in point, when you look at that, Ishmael ran from God, didn't have anything to do with God. And when you look at this, the incredible benefits of living for God and hearing his word will change your life. I was thinking about King Saul as we wrap up this morning. King Saul was chosen to be Israel's king because Israel did not want God as their king. They wanted an earthly king. They wanted somebody that they could see and touch and somebody that would fight for them. So King Saul became their earthly king. What happened in King Saul's life? When you sum up his story, and I've got it on the screen. King Saul, he loved David's music. He chose David's music. But when God tried to speak to Saul, he rejected Samuel. Samuel was the prophet who brought God's word to Saul. Why don't you think about that? King Saul chose the music over the word. And what's happened today? We've chosen entertainment over the word of God. We've chosen perversion over the word of God. We've chosen what we like over the word of God. It's a life lesson to look at King Saul. He loved David's music, but he rejected Samuel's word. And church, it goes back to this in 2026. If you'll stick with that Bible, and you'll come to church. God will transform your life because you're hearing the word of God. See, again, when some people see sand, other people see an oasis. Goes back to Dubai. What is your 2026 going to look like? Is it going to be a desert or is it going to be full of life? Because I'm telling you, I'm intrigued by Dubai. If these men could come up on their own to change a desert into an oasis and it's man-made, can you imagine what God could do through the local church? If we just said, God, is anything too hard for you? Genesis 18:14. Abraham asked God that, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. I'm overwhelmed when I look at those pictures of Dubai. I can't build that. I can't do that. I didn't have a vision for that. But I sit back and go, if that man-made stuff can happen, what could God possibly do through me or my family or the local church? I got a story for you that I found as our worship team comes back this morning. It says this. The story is called Halfway Up the Stony Mountain. And I got a picture for you, kind of put you in the place. It says this. I was reading some time ago about a mountain climber who takes groups of people up a real tall mountain incline in the Swiss Alps. He talked about how the guys would start out climbing the mountain and the people were very excited. Then they would come about lunchtime to a lodge halfway up the mountain. By that time, they were cold, they were hungry, they were tired, and it was only noon. There was still half a mountain to go. As they walked into the lodge, there was a piano player playing good music. They had warm rolls that the chef had been cooking, lots of great food and a buffet. They had raging, gorgeous fires in the fireplaces. It was awesome. But the crowd would decide that they didn't want to go the rest of the way up the mountain. They decided that they wanted to stop the climb right there. And they said to one another and their climbing buddies, listen, you go on ahead. It's no big deal. We'll wait right here for you. And we'll rejoin you when you come back down the mountain. We've climbed up far enough. It's been great. The other climbers would go out and start climbing again, back into the elements. And they would actually reach the peak. And it was so predictable. The guide knew what would be happening back halfway up the lodge. They could look down in binoculars and telescopes, and they would see people looking out the big glass windows, looking at their fellow climbers. And he said you could, when you got back down to the lodge, you would see regret all over their face because they didn't finish their climb. I thought that story was very intriguing to me. How many of you know, it's very easy to stop halfway and go, that's good enough, God. That's good enough. I mean, I went to church three-quarter of the year last year. Good enough, God. Yeah, are you with me on this? This story resonates that every area of our life, we got to keep climbing. We got to keep running. We got to keep doing what we're doing. Our last verse this morning is this, Nehemiah 1:5. This tells us who our God is. He is the great and he is the awesome God. And church, I'll be honest with you. The expectancy that we need to go in with 2026 would be that right there. What could our great and awesome God possibly do in our lives this year? There's decisions that we need to make. There's things that we need to look back in our life that we can do better, that I can serve God better. Maybe it's not letting people get to you so much. Maybe 2025, people got to you. They messed your rhythm up. They messed your relationship up with God or whatever it could be. Maybe it's stress. No matter what it would be, I'm here to tell you today, nothing is too hard for our Lord. Abraham asked that question, rhetorical. Is there anything too hard for our Lord? Genesis chapter 18, verse 14? No. He can do anything at any time. He's the great and the awesome God. So I don't know about you. You may be tired today. You may be worn out from this year. You're just like, Jerry, I hear what you're saying, but I'm still in 2025. We still got a few days. All I'm asking you to do is think about the next year. What could God possibly do through the church, through your life, through your family? Because he's the great and the awesome God. Be still. Make sure you walk with God. And there will be times when you get to run with God. And enjoy those moments. Because they'll be big moments. God's a great and awesome God. Is anybody with me this morning? He's a great and awesome God. Would you stand with me this morning as we close out this service? And as we close this service out today, I pray that these scriptures have touched your heart. that you realize that, that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That if you'll look at 2026 as, okay, right now I've seen just a little bit of God. Okay? Or maybe you're seeing a little bit more this year. Next year, you'll see more. It'll just keep getting brighter. Okay? And the closer you get, I'm not saying everything will be easy. I'm not saying everything's going to fall into your lap. I'm not saying you're not going to go through hard times and tragedy and trials, and we'll face these things. But with God, He'll be right there with you. We got to do our part. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Lord, I don't know where everybody's at in this place. I don't know if there's people that are here that are questioning you, if you're even real. I don't know if there's people here that had a very hard year and saying, God, where were you at? There's a group of people here that have had a fantastic year. Lord, everybody's on different levels. I pray today that your word has spoken to every person on any level they're at, that we can look to the future and say, God, I know that I can walk with you and you walk with me, and I know there'll be times where I can run for you. Please show me what to do and what decisions to make. God, give me the courage to do what I need to do to stick with you this year so that I can see how great and awesome you are. Lord, I pray that you would just touch these hearts and lives today, that we'd walk different this year. I pray 2026 would be awesome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.